Gospel according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord.
Glory to them, Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not moan.' Mourn, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is well-fitting, useful, good, and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you.
Praise to you, Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus apparently was exasperated with the crowd. "To what will I compare this generation?" he asked. "It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn.' We may feel like the people in the crowd these days. We stayed at home to manage COVID-19. But the numbers of people who are ill, hospitalized, and dying in this country are going up, even though that's not happening here in New York. And that's frightening, and it's frustrating, and it may make us angry. We want you to give us back our freedom of movement and our full lives." Jesus continued, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" Many people who were outraged by yet one more murder of an unarmed black man by a police officer took to the streets to protest peacefully. But many were told they weren't doing it right. They were corralled like cattle. Some were thrown to the ground by police. So some of the protesters turned to violence, and they were told that they weren't doing it right. They were arrested and charged with significant crimes. We may be the generation that doesn't understand today. There's so much for us to understand, so much that we can't understand. Why is this virus here? Why is it attacking us? Why is it so infectious? Sometimes it seems to be malicious. Why are the people who are least able to withstand it the hardest hit? Why, after hundreds of years in this country, with many of their ancestors having been kidnapped and brought here against their will, are black and brown people still being treated as if their lives don't matter? Why are white people, even well-meaning ones, so blind to the injustice, unwilling, it seems, to take a stand to put an end to it? Jesus has come to us once again in his words of welcome and acceptance. He's not suggesting. He's not inviting. No, he's commanding. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. My yoke, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This might sound like Jesus is taking us for a walk in the park instead of living through the difficulties and the pain and the disappointment of life. But a more accurate translation for the word easy in the New Revised Standard Version of our text is well-fitting or good or useful. So that's why I used those adjectives when I read the gospel text. A yoke is meant to help guide oxen so they can work well together. But if it's not well fitting for both animals, it rubs against their necks and their shoulders as they move. To keep from feeling the soreness, they walk crookedly, they bump into each other. The wagon they're pulling doesn't move in a smooth, straight line. It might even get unbalanced and fall over, pulling the animals with it. So Jesus offers us a life lived through the guidance of a yoke that is designed individually for each of us, custom made, or in today's parlance, bespoke. So the yoke of discipleship that Jesus calls us to is well fitting for each of us. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is our partner in the yoke. How do we hear Jesus today? Does his promise still give us hope? Hope that people will wear their masks and stop gathering to play like children because they seem to be unable to stop behaving irresponsibly, so that the cases of COVID-19 will slow and maybe eventually stop? Hope that the continuing demonstrations throughout the country this time promise that white people do finally get it, and that we will at last demand that justice be done, that police policies and procedures will be changed to make them less militaristic, less targeted, more even-handed. Hope maybe on the part of some police officers that they will no longer be made responsible for handling every social ill or every person who's out of control that no one else seems capable of managing, even though they don't have proper training and preparation as social workers or psychologists. Life doesn't become a perpetual vacation with this yoke. Oh no, there's work to be done. There's discipline to be lived, like continuing to use the virus protection measures, like reshaping the way we have policing carried out in our communities, and how we take care of people who are in need of special care or intervention for their own safety and that of others. Like revamping our immigration laws so that people are welcomed to this country in an orderly fashion, not treated like invaders and repelled, sent into Mexico to live in the streets. Like reforming our unjust system of justice and incarceration of millions of people so that all people can live full lives in peace with their families. The gospel is to be proclaimed. But with Jesus' tailor-made yoke, we can get through the work without injuring ourselves. And then we can rest. Jesus' yoke helps us to get free from the power of our sins and our weaknesses. It's a hard thing to acknowledge that good, well-meaning, moral people can inhabit evil systems and contribute to those systems and be malformed by those systems. But that's the truth. And that's the way life has turned out to be. But with discipleship, we're not left to fight the temptations of sinful life alone. We can do what we want to do as followers of Christ, rather than finding ourselves, like Paul remarked in his letter to the Romans, in the midst of doing the sinful behavior that we don't want to do. But to achieve this, we have to be disciples. We have to submit to Christ's discipline. The prophecy from Zechariah warns us that the king returning to Jerusalem was not to be the victorious general to restore Judean independence and the Davidic monarchy, overthrowing an oppressive foreign government. The king would be coming in peace. So how do we apply a returning king to our lives today? Well, the king is Jesus. And Jesus is not going to be made according to our imaginations. Jesus is going to be giving us instructions about how to live. So we'd best listen up and accept the challenge if we hope to come out of the world's current situation in a better condition than we now experience. Jesus is our hope. Let's grasp on to our hope and never let go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.